Welcome to the today's Vodka and Juice Boxes. The play date where the only thing these girls are spilling is their secrets. So sit back, grab a cocktail, enjoy today's confession session with our young moms and their pals. Here they are, your sister hosts. We've missed them in the studio, Amanda and Juliet.
Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for having us back, Paul. It's been way too long. Yes, we won't go in. Why? You know, you all know.
We weren't organized. No. And then stuff happens. Lots of stuff happens.
Life. Babies. Life.
Babies. Everything. Babysitters.
So we're going to start off this new chapter of Vodka and Juice Boxes with a pretty intense, powerful, and life-changing topic, postpartum depression. So we have in studio our special guests, Heather and Jessica, who are going to take the first half of the of the radio show.
Hello.
There they are, to tell their stories. And then Amanda and I have a ton of questions. So before we even start, before we talk about our cocktail, we want everybody to know, Amanda, you can chime in on this. We are not professionals in this field whatsoever. What we're sharing is our own personal experiences. What happened, why it happened, we have no idea. We did put a link on our website, postpartum.net, that has some really great information about it. So if you want to learn more about the stats and more like scientific backgrounds, you can. But in this studio today, we are sharing our own personal journeys. So Amanda, what are we drinking?
Hi.
I found a recipe on...
That's the way you start a show on postpartum depression. Hi.
Hi there.
Pinterest. So... it is a lavender pear lemonade with vodka. So I boiled, I think, 16 stalks of a lavender with a cup and a half of water and a cup and a half of sugar. Mm. For my simple syrup, I did 3/4 an ounce, 2 ounces of vodka, 2 ounces of pear juice that I got from Sprouts, 2 ounces of pure lemon juice I got from Sprouts as well, dash of salt, shake, 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 and ta-da.
And it's amazing. Ladies,
it is.
What do
delicious.
You think?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty
splendid.
Good.
Amazing. So can we just cheers real quick before
cheers.
We get started?
Let me just take this like a shot real fast.
Cheers. I know. I'm like not a day drinker, but
there it
a
is.
Fan.
Day drinking's the only time to do it.
All right, ladies, we're going to go ahead and pass the mics right over to you. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself? Just because for listeners who are new and who cannot see video, we want to make sure they can know who's who with their voices.
And wave as you come on here.
That's what I'm trying to fix.
Damn it. I always have
awesome.
Bad posture.
Okay, so why don't you two go ahead?
All right. My name is Heather Brinkerhoff.
You got to
wave
to the audience.
Hi,
you got to wave.
There we go. And I am a first-time mom. I have a daughter named Charlie. She's 16 months. A husband, Brian. I'm a brewery tasting room manager. And
what brewery?
Oh, I don't know if I can...
Oh, you're not allowed to say.
Well, just for... It's in Anaheim. It's
we'll tell you.
Very popular.
You should say it, and then they'll sponsor the show. They'll have to sponsor the
maybe
show.
Maybe so.
Oh, that'd
Noble
be cool.
Noble Aleworks is where I work.
Oh,
but
awesome.
Again, I should say, all of this is none of their opinion.
Absolutely.
None of their
yes.
views. This is all my personal experience.
Good.
But they're awesome
that.
With supporting me, so I should say.
That's really great. And also in the studio,
our Jessica.
Hey. Me again. Jessica. Mom of 4, stepmom to 2, that's 6, and yeah, that's it. I stay at home, and I'm a nanny.
Oh, God, you're so crazy. I couldn't... you have the most children of everybody, and then you're like, months, a couple more. Like, that's so crazy to me ever. My sister, I have watched her kids probably 3 times. Like, they're like the easy kids too. So even, it's just so bizarre to me how people like widen their load freely. Like yeah, my mom had 5 kids and her whole life is like, she's a preschool teacher.
I'll
I'm
take
like, why would
30
you do
more?
That?
Yeah, getting good. Ready today was like, everybody's staring at me. I have a bubble in my throat.
Oh my gosh.
Get it. Out of here.
All right. Okay, Heather, why don't you go ahead and start us off and share your story and then you guys.
And then we're going to hear from Jessica and then we're going to have me and Juliet questions.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Again, have my first daughter and my family. I'm originally from Nebraska, so... my mom, my sisters, all of my extended family is all over there. I came out here when I was 17. I'm 31 now.
Yeah.
And to go to school for singing and dancing and ended up settling in Old Town Orange. Met my husband. We dated shortly. I got pregnant. During the pregnancy, I obviously was ecstatic. I had always wanted children and I had a great husband, great support system. He had a great family. But it was hard during the pregnancy being so far away from my family and my sisters and feeling like only one of my friends, Amanda, had children. So she was the only one who would really keep it real with me. So I felt like I should be this prancing through the daisies, pregnant, wearing white linens. And
that's still my dream.
Yeah, like
that's still my dream. I'm like, that sounds fun.
and I did have moments of that. I did definitely have moments of that. But also, I was still working, working in a brewery, which is a male-driven industry. So when you're pregnant, people, you know, you're meant to be softer. You're meant to be
cute.
IPA
beer is so strong for you to be pregnant working in that environment.
The smells were pretty intense.
Probably have died.
That is for
sure. Think about that.
Yeah. The smells and the being
smell
on my feet.
The smell of IPA beer is like,
yeah, I definitely had no problem not drinking while I was pregnant, which I wondered beforehand, but I had no problem. Even like I would want a glass of wine just to feel like I was one of everyone, but I would never touch it. But yeah, so working there, that was a little bit difficult as far as identity. You know, you work so hard in your life to gain a certain sense of identity, individuality. And so I was just coming to terms with that. So fast forward to having my daughter, and I ended up having a C-section. And unfortunately, my family being so far away, they had to make the choice. Do we want to be there for your last minute labor when it could happen at any time? Mm-hmm. Or do we want to wait to come after? So we chose to have them come after. I had no idea.
How much
this
you would
is just
them.
Me personally. Yeah, I had no idea how alone I would feel. You know, people have knee surgery, back surgery, their molars out, and everyone is so concerned for them, and everyone asks them how they
how
were
feeling?
I felt like having a baby, it was just kind of like, this is what we do. You know, get on the bed, get your IVs. I felt really
pushed around
and just like objectified to where no one mentioned to me during my, or I should say my doctor, which I realize after this time, I really wish someone would have encouraged me to go with my needs. Like, and I needed someone to ask me how I was doing. He was just really making sure everything was
technically okay.
Fine. Yeah. But no one ever asked me in my entire pregnancy, like, how are you feeling mentally? And I think that would have been a big turning point. So
I totally agree. That was one thing I was going to mention. Nobody ever says to you, just so you know, after this, you might feel like you're going to die. Like your brain's going to come out and you're going to lose all senses, and just enjoy it. Enjoy the baby. Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody tells you that part.
Or even have you, I don't remember them even asking. Well, on the questionnaire, I did mark that I have had past of depression, past anxiety. And it was never questioned after that, which I feel like that should be a part of practitioner's practice.
Yes.
Bedside manner, because it isn't just a physical process. It's an emotional, mental, spiritual process. So
somebody tweeted in once to know if it was a female or a male doctor, and would that make a difference?
It was a male doctor, and to be honest with you, I was almost going against my intuition because I thought I need to be strong. I am a manager at my work. I am I have to be tough. I've always been tough my whole life. I can deal with a male doctor. I can deal with someone who's cut and dry, and that's exactly how he was. And he was the best doctor in Newport Beach, but if anything, he stented my growth. He stented my
experience
100%. And he was really like, let's get the money, let's get the baby out.
Yeah.
See you later.
Well, he does this every day, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and just
but
to
this
try
is my one time experience.
Yeah, of course,
so
they don't see it
very,
that way.
Yeah.
To chime in before, it's not just it's pertinent for this moment. Was this like, did that feeling happen instantly the baby came out, or was it leading up and then pregnancy and then the baby came, like, just when did that initial feeling set in for you personally?
She was saying when they were hooking up to the hospital, right?
Yeah, when I had gotten to the hospital and we decided C-section, the baby had decreased movement, so we got to do this. I felt instantly when no one was listening to me.
Gotcha.
I was telling the nurse, like, where's my husband? He's getting changed. His family is in California. They're very involved. To not have my family there and to have this as the duality was really overwhelming. I felt like no one was listening to me. Okay. No one was like So it kicked in then, and mm-hmm. it really kicked in after we got settled in our room.
Okay.
To where I think because I just felt so alone, like no one ever mentioned, you go, yes, you're pregnant in front of everyone, but at the end of the day, it is you right. solely going through this.
Right,
and
right.
no one mentions that. No one mentions, yes, you can have all the support in the world. And I knew my family from far away was supporting me and thinking of me and loving me, but I felt extremely sad really as soon as I got in the room, unfortunately. And mm-hmm. I would never wish it on anyone.
Right.
And then once we got home, at first I would just wake up and I have this beautiful house. I have the supportive husband. I have supportive family on both sides, but I feel like overwhelmed completely. And like, I am overstimulated. I felt mm-hmm. really overstimulated, and I felt really like, no one could understand me, I suppose, mm-hmm. which, you know, everyone can try in their own ways. But then after that was when I started seeking, because I've been through depression in the past. And the only thing that saved me at that point was my mother's a social worker. So she's very smart when it comes to being in touch with your emotions mm-hmm. and expressing those. So mm-hmm. I talked a lot with her. I talked with my friends after I put aside being so ashamed of mm-hmm. like, I'm always the positive one. I'm Heather's right. the one that has their aromatherapy and right, sage right. and a singer, and she's
you do always smoke, right?
You know. So after I put that aside and just was honest with people, it was really vulnerable, but that was vulnerability that I had control of. I felt like when I was right out of having a C-section,
right,
people just walk in the room, you're nursing, no one, any other time people would ask if you have your shirt off in a room.
Right.
But apparently after the most vulnerable time of my life, no one cared to ask.
See, that's
how
interesting.
Would you feel about
I kind of like that.
It
I,
is so I weird because I'm the most modest person ever. Like, I won't change in front of you. You cannot walk into
me
a room
neither.
And be like,
in the same way.
Oh, man.
Like, I won't do it. But then Amanda's in sad. The hospital, I was like, check me out.
Oh, no.
See? Clean me, bathe me.
Yes, that's how I was.
Well, I was like that to my nurse, but then I felt like there was a certain amount of, I guess, just to be honest, like, certain amount of family.
Yeah.
That. Expects a certain amount of ownership.
Yeah,
to
you
that
needed
it. It sounds like body and you like, were feeling out of control.
Yes.
And it just continued to feel out of control, out of control, out of control.
Definitely. So then I started listening to podcasts, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I listened to one called Mom and Mind, and that changed my whole experience because it was a doctor, a psychologist talking about postpartum mm-hmm. and different people that were ecstatic and had no problems mm-hmm. to people who were in psychosis. So mm-hmm. it was good to see that. I listened to Newbies, which was for new moms. I didn't have my sisters there to talk about breastfeeding and the pressure of that or all of the other pressures that come along with it. Positive Psychology Podcast. I started doing affirmations, really just waking
up
every
day. Yeah, you said
That helped a lot.
Can you explain what affirmations are?
Yeah, they're stating something as an intention mm-hmm. and really focusing and moving forward with that. So I had a friend, Melissa, a long time. I was heartbroken and she said to me, you get up in the morning. Can we curse on here?
Absolutely. Okay. You can.
You get up in the morning. I was all heartbroken over a really trashy dude. So she was like, you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you say, you are a badass bitch and the shit is not going to faze you.
Hell
and you start your day like that. So I would every day. You know, for about a year, and it would make me laugh towards the end. And then I just started doing that after having Charlie. I would just get up and be like, no amount of darkness is going to get in today. I got this. I have the strength. I have friends to support me. I have family to support me.
It helps. Like, it seriously
changing.
Helps. Like I think everything that I ever feel, it's all mental. And if you could start there. You know, if you could change the way that you think, it'll change the way you feel, and everything starts from there. So I hear you on there.
Yeah. So that really worked a lot. I started doing intentional things is kind of how I've dealt with it in the past. So I really reached for that. As far as like aromatherapy, me taking a shower, me intentionally having nice smelling oils, having candles, having lights, having things that, you know, taking time for myself. Mm-hmm. A big thing also was recently yoga and sound therapy.
Sound therapy, what's that?
Sound bath. It's big crystal quartz sound bowls.
Oh, yes.
And
love
each
them.
Of them are tuned to a different chakra in your body. And, you know, again, anything that I stand behind, it's because I've experienced it. For better or worse, I'm one of those people that I have to do it myself, maybe five times over in order to feel confident in it. I can't just take people's advice. So this, it gets into your parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. So
my sister just did that and she raved about it.
It's really amazing because it's all about the resistance, you know, finally submit, like being submissive to the resistance of things that are going on.
No, somebody else tweeted, they're still not clear. I'm not clear what it is. I've never seen this. A bowl and it has some crystals in it or something.
No, it's actually a big bowl made of a crystal.
Made
of crystal quartz. Mm-hmm. And they're all attuned. Every chakra in your body has a different note or key, they should say, to where it's as a sound bath, it submerses you.
So do you strike it or touch it or something and it starts to vibrate?
You have a mallet that you rub on the inside that has felt on it. And each of them, professionals do it in a different...
And it starts to vibrate.
Like with the glass. Yeah, have you seen the trick where you wet your finger and then you do the edge? That's what the kind of similar sound, similar
And
notion.
If you get the right tune, it will shake your entire house.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And so that's where I feel like as a parent, especially having only one, crying all day, then I go to work, like there's stimulation all day. So this is a way to permeate not only your sympathetic nervous system. This is all your fight and flight stuff, which is, I feel like that all tied into my depression as well. My fight or flight button was just constantly hitting on flight.
Yeah.
Hurry, hurry, get out. Everything.
That is a perfect analogy. Mm-hmm.
So this really helped,
being forced to stay somewhere that you feel that you want to run from.
Yes.
Or save yourself from. But this is your job and you have to stay here. So you're completely out of control.
Yeah.
And you're tied down and you can't save yourself at all. Nobody wants to save you either. So.
Because no one knows how. I'm sure they just see us, you know, popping along. You're positive.
Like you're bobbing in water asking for a lifeline and everyone's like, we gave you everything. I don't know what else you need.
Yeah.
And you're like.
It's a way to. As I was putting my daughter down for a nap this morning. It's almost like the adult shh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That you do to a baby. You pat their butt and you shush them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of like thoughts come up and the sound is like shh.
How often do you
chill
do your
bowl? Recently honestly done it one time since I had her. But that was a big part of my self-work and self-practice for years before. But because I then was like, well, I have to work. I have to clean the house. I have to be the wife.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped doing that. So just recently, I went to my friend's place in L.A. She's got great roommates. One of them is a yoga instructor. One of them does sound healing. Girlfriends. And it was wonderful. It was really wonderful. So there's a lot of different things that, aside from that, that helped me feel like I could relate to other people, which then made me know that I had to be more honest because it just took a few honest people for me to say, I'm not crazy. I'm not, this doesn't make me a bad person or a bad mom. I never wanted to harm my daughter. I never wanted to
you never had
not
self-doubt.
Have
but if you do feel that way, you're also not alone because there are very many moms who go through postpartum that do feel like they're resentful to their child. Just to interrupt you and let you know if there's any listeners out there that have those feelings. You're not alone. There are other people. Wrong. There's help for you too. So
well, and that's
there's
what
a bunch of different kinds of postpartum.
And that's actually what I wanted to ask both of you as you share your story. Heather, if you can tell me what a day was like for you emotionally. And I want to hear from Jessica what your typical day was like for you when you were battling with these emotions. Like you said, because both of you guys are going to have different feelings and we don't want people to feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
So before we delve into that, let's take a little commercial break because that's going to be sounds like a heavy session here. So let's everybody take a deep breath, say shush together. Shh.
And pat my butt too.
This is for my butt.
That's right.
I love that.
Pat the puss.
Right,
get out of here.
Right back after this.
That was great.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Hire.
All right. And today's show has been brought to you by J-Dub Design, socially designing what you dream.
That's right.
Everyone has an idea of how they want their brand to look and feel and how they want to communicate to their community. Whether an idea is presented on a napkin, through pins on Pinterest, or by girls talking in the back while I'm trying to read the commercial, no matter how your message is conveyed, simply talking it out with someone, your vision, your dream can become a reality. That's what they do at J-Dub Design, utilizing the most popular trends online and the latest programs for design to help you build, create, and sustain your digital community.
I wrote that shit.
Another time to say, I just have to say, that's the most honest and open I've heard anybody describe this process. I read about it. I'm a guy. I don't know. I think my daughter went through it, but she couldn't describe it or didn't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear about that part. I know you have other things you want to talk about, but you know, the fact that you can't just stand up and say, I feel out of control. Wait a minute. I'm mm-hmm. in charge here. I'm not an assembly line and I'm feeling something and I don't know what to do about it.
Yep.
I think a lot of it is shame.
Yep.
Shame. And I mean, I've mentioned this. I mean, with every single subject we talk on, I will always resort back to social media. And that's why I've tried to my hardest. Being honest with people is a difficult thing for me.
It sets you free, doesn't it?
And now I'm just starting to be like, you know what? I really fucked shit up today. Like, I failed. And I'm going to tell you guys about it. And
I feel better about it after.
Yes. And I feel like as long as we are out there telling everyone, like, whatever you're going through, we went there or we went through it. We cried your tears.
Uh-huh.
We, you know, we were in a ball one day, too. Mm-hmm. Like, we've all done that. And you need to be able to feel like you're not alone and you could speak up and reach out to people and say, I'm at rock bottom.
Yep.
I want to die. I want to whatever. I hurt my baby. I want to whatever anybody's going through. They need to be able to be free enough to tell people. Because when they don't feel free is when we watch the news and we say, oh, my God, that happy girl just killed herself with a 2-month-old baby. How'd that happen?
Mm-hmm. There's a stigma that scares everyone.
Well, she's been asking for help for 2 months.
Yeah. But we're in the second decade of the 21st century. Why is this still something we got to talk about? Is that why we got to be perfect?
Oh, especially with social media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfection.
Well, and it's, I think, a generational thing of you're so lucky to be having a baby.
Oh, you know, some people can't have a baby. I'm so tired of that.
I am too.
I respect and have a heart for.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm not allowed to feel anything else.
Mm-hmm. Like when I would be bummed about having boys, they'd be like, just be happy you have a child. And I'm like, I am happy, but I wanted a vagina. Right. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I loved when you were pregnant with Sawyer and she would tell me that at that point where everyone would be like, what are you having? And she's like, doesn't even matter. A baby, okay?
Well, on that, that's a great segue into your story, Jessica. I really want to hear, and so do our listeners, want to hear about your experience with postpartum.
Okay.
And then from there,
I'm already starting to cry.
All right. No, take your time.
Okay.
And was it with, you had several children, was it through all the children?
No, my first two children, I was very disconnected with my firstborn son when I came to being pregnant. I thought it was weird. I was 24. I was just coming out of being a party girl. And everyone's like, the ultrasound pictures. And I'm like, it looks like a fucking alien. I don't want to frame that. That's stupid. Like, I didn't want anything to do with it. But then my son was born and I was like, this is my heart. This is my soul. This is like everything. Mm-hmm. It was magical for me. I instantly was connected. I didn't feel any postpartum. I didn't feel any baby blues. My second son, 4 years later, the same thing. The best feeling to me is when they handed over that baby to me. And the fact that being somebody who's like a hypochondriac when it comes to delivering babies, I am like a champ. Sorry to toot my own horn. But I'm like, your body will do what you need to do. Yeah. And I would just get in there and just like do it. 15-minute deliveries. So I was like so overly confident, like I got this mom thing.
Right.
Nothing can faze me. Look at my baby's, my body bounces back. Like third baby, let's do this. Third baby, have my baby. I'm chilling, like another 15-minute delivery. Everything's perfect. 9 days later, I hemorrhage at home. I wake up and I'm completely covered in blood. I have lost so much blood. They want to do a blood transfusion. I go into an emergency surgery. You know, I take the ambulance, everything. That clicks with an anxiety that
past trauma.
Yeah, that up. I am going to die at home with my children and nobody's going to help me. I don't know why I'm getting so upset. Can I have one of those?
I was like, Amanda's taking it for herself.
I thought that maybe
it would set it off if I gave it to her right away.
So yeah, that when I came home from that and then my husband had to still go back to work and I'm like, wait a second. Everybody, I almost died. Mm-hmm. I just had a baby. I have two kids. I have two stepkids, a newborn. I just almost bled out and I had to go back to normal life. Like I have to take them to school and pick them up and I have to do all this and nobody's going to help me.
You're supposed to.
So I just went into it.
Yeah.
And I just kept going and going. And I remember the click of that I had postpartum is because I didn't have postpartum anxiety. I actually have postpartum. I didn't have postpartum depression. I have postpartum anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm doing the dishes after dinner and I gave the kids a bath and I'm standing there and all of a sudden my heart was like a million miles an hour. And I'm thinking, this is it. Dude, I'm going down. This is a heart attack for sure. And I'm pacing back and forth. My next door neighbor is an FBI agent. And I like debated on a long time to be like, help. So I go running over to his house and I'm like, here she goes. Like, this is it. Mm-hmm. I'm falling like a tree that's been cut down. And he calls 911. The firefighters come in and they're like, you don't have to get it all done in one day.
Oh. And I that's what they told you.
That's what they told me. Oh my God,
I did start crying, and I was
"That's so true." Though.
They hooked me up, and then they're like, "You're having a panic attack. Like you need to relax." But as a mom, like you were saying, you're like, "I got to wake up after not sleeping. Mm-hmm. I have to feed the baby. I have to change the baby. I have to dress the baby. I have to bathe the baby. I have to take the kids to school. I have to do this. I have to go grocery shopping. I have to cook lunch, dinner." I have to do all these things. And in your mind, you're never calming down. Mm-hmm. And so I would completely just freak myself out. And then one day it left. So I have my fourth child, handle like a champ. And then I was starting to have anxiety. I'm going to hemorrhage again. And the doctor said, if you hemorrhage, you're going to be the most unlucky person in the world. And I said, you don't know what I've been through.
I've been feeling like that. So
the ninth day, same exact as the other time, I hear a
No.
That's what happens is like a plug or something and it just starts going. And I look at my husband and I say, call 911. He takes his phone at home, and I'm hemorrhaging. So mind you, it's like a faucet that's been turned on. You don't stop. It just starts flowing and flowing.
Oh my God.
And he's scrolling. And I'm like, what are you scrolling for? 911. So anyways, I go through all that. I come back home again after staying in the hospital. And the anxiety was 100 times worse than after Sawyer. It was a complete psychosis. I called the back of my insurance card. I went to the doctor about 2 times a week saying, I'm going to die. Like, I am for sure going to
die. Why did you feel like you were going to die?
Because that's where my fear sets in. Because I hemorrhaged and because, like, I have my brothers who died. I have so much death in my life. That is my trigger for me.
Yes. Yeah.
So thinking that I have all this to do and nobody to help me, and then I'm going to die, and my kids are going to be in the home with me while I'm dead. And, like, so I would be, like, trying to teach them how to dial 911.
All of those hot buttons that you hid in your childhood and your adolescence, no one ever mentioned. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, hey, those will come up because, like, this is the next biggest thing that's happened in your life.
You're right. You're talking about
those
triggers
panic
right
buttons will come up.
And I kept going to the doctors, and they would say, it's postpartum. Have a Prozac. And I'd say, I don't have depression. I have anxiety. Well, if you take this Prozac, if you take this Zoloft, if you take this, and I was prescribed 5 different medications, and they said to me, Jessica, you have to take the pills. And I said, no, it's part of my anxiety. I won't take your medication because if I take it, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you need to take it. And so that's when I went to like a full, like one day I was curled up in a ball on my couch, always calling my mom saying, like, you know, crying, hysterical, I'm going to die, I can't take care of these kids, they're all here, they all need me, I can't even get up, I can't drive anywhere, because if I drive somewhere, I have a panic attack. And then literally, I woke up and it was fucking gone after 5 months.
Crazy.
But through that 5 months, I had learned to do this to myself. And what you said really like set in, it's like the self-healing. I would say, you're okay. You're at peace. You are strong. And I would just like say it over and over and over again. You're at peace. You are strong. You're okay. Yeah. And I would just say those words over and over until I could bring my mind back down, because all the medication they could give me wasn't ever going to fix what was going on with me, which was a strong fear of something.
If anything, it's like a numbing.
Yes, and it just changes.
I tried medication, for the record, as well. I tried white pills. I don't know how.
I tried white. They were white. I don't know what they were.
Well, I don't know how like liberal this.
We say
whatever the fuck you want.
This is California, so so medical marijuana is legal.
Yeah. That's the only thing that helped me.
To smoke in the morning and smoke at night. Yeah. I'm not like lighting it up with my daughter, but I'm sorry to anyone that may offend or shock.
No, you'll be sorry if it saved you.
Yeah, haters keep scrolling. That's all I say.
It didn't block out everything. If anything, it gave me that space to go.
Yeah. Breathe. It gave you a moment to breathe.
It's a scheduled deep breath, really, happening. Yes. And also with finding now, you can have an indica, a sativa. You can have things that calm anxiety. You can things that calm.
It was
have
CBD. Everyone kept telling me, you don't want the pills. Why don't you try the CBD? And I'm telling you, no. I don't want to take anything. Like, I was just like freaking out on everybody. Stop trying to shove things down my throat. Sometimes I couldn't even leave the house unless I actually did take a Xanax. So I would have to do that. Like for Valentine's party, I'm like, okay, I took it. I'm going to go to the Krispy Kreme. I'm going to get your donuts and I'm going to come to the party. Like, here we go. Here we go. I'm going to be strong. We're going to do this. And the CBD, I tried it and I was like, wait a second. This is delightful.
Yeah.
Like, I feel calm.
So it's a pill, or is you smoke?
The CBD oil? Is that what you're talking about?
You can do the oil, and you can drop it in your mouth.
Oil. Yeah, I do the oil.
You could vape it. I actually prefer to vape it.
Oh, you vape it. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. I did CBD oil only a couple times, but my girlfriends that sell it say you have to take it for at least a month, at least.
It's just like any medication for your body to get acclimated to.
So then maybe I should try that, because I get very, very fucking frazzled very fast. Very fast. And it happens in the morning, and that will determine if this is going to be a good day or a bad day. And Brian will call me in the morning, and he'll be like, how is everybody? And I say, shut up, Brian.
So one thing that I'm hearing that's kind of a common ground between both of your stories, as different as they are, but as similar as they are, is that these positive affirmations.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's a really great common ground. And changing your perspective on anything, right? For an example, you get in a car accident and you survive, and you can look at it and say, you can be really angry and be like, I got in a car accident, ruined my day and everything. Or you change your perspective and you say,
thank God I made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have insurance.
It really does have everything to do. And I'm speaking from experience. Yeah. This is something I have to work on. It has everything to do with your mind, your mental health. It's so, so important. It's so important, but I don't know,
mind
man.
So the majority
of your anxiety stems from the fact that you might not make it and that you have these people to take care of. Is that what that was for you mostly?
Yeah, immediately when you said that, I start to cry.
Sorry. But I wanted to make sure.
I did have PTSD when I was 17 after my brother dying.
Right.
Yes. So that's another thing. Nobody ever asked me.
Oh, dude, losing someone is nice.
Anything that would happen. Yep. Yep. And then when it started happening, everyone's like, it's the baby blues. It's just the baby blues. And I'm like, I love my kids. My fear is leaving them. Yeah. Like, I'm like,
that's crippling. That people don't understand.
And that's actually something that I can relate to.
Yeah.
Is the first
Julia
time.
Wouldn't let Aaron leave the hospital.
No,
after her
he wasn't allowed
born.
To. After my whole fear after being pregnant was great. Now I have something to lose. Instantly. Mm-hmm. I could not enjoy the pregnancy when I first had my baby and we were in the hotel. I'm like, you're not gonna leave and get in a car accident, like freaking,
and leave you with these freaking kids, Bobby.
Downton Abbey. Don't leave me with these freaking kids. I'm like, you're gonna stay next to me, because now I have something even more to lose. And it started to become crippling for me.
It is crippling.
For the first couple months too, I didn't want to go out anywhere, because I'm just like, no, we're all gonna be safe.
I started because I was raised by a single mother. I started like, and my husband's probably listening. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
I started like instant damage control. Like my fight or flight was just constantly, if I could say anything, it was just like boom, 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 boom. Like the light was going off at all times. So I'd be like, okay, Well, if anything goes wrong with us, I can just do this. I can just, here's where we're going to live, where we're going to live.
I was just, oh my gosh.
I would just resort to my most traumatic.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Experience fear. And it's, fear.
It seems like it's stemming from all of our fears.
I created the huge ordeals from that because I would like wake up in the middle of the night with these anxiety or panic attacks. I'd have to wake my husband up. I'd set his day off bad. Right. And then I'd be like, oh my God, you hate me. Oh my God, you're
none of us slept.
You know, and I'm like, I'm ruining your life. I'm ruining everything.
Oh my God.
Life.
So I have pockets of that. I have pockets of that where I'm like, I really fucking hope Brian doesn't think that he chose the wrong partner because I'm incapable or unable or I'm not stable enough. Like, I hate that.
So the immediate reaction is like, fuck. You.
Yeah, yeah. I automatically hate him. And the whole time he's like, what?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Well, because no one gave me a little key reference, which, you know, I'm giving everyone a key reference. Maybe this won't affect you at all. Maybe it will, but like, it affected my sexuality, my femininity,
my
sense of safe space, my contemplation of what a father should be like, what a mother should be like. We all come from such different makeups and all of that.
Well, I want to ask both of you girls, like, when was there that moment? I know, Heather, you kind of touched Amanda's spilling vodka. How dare you?
Paul, she's...
There's... Heather, you told us...
We're not going to let you back in. Now. I
know. Liar.
Heather, you told us there was that because you did have some past depression, so you kind of knew some of the signs. But for the women out there, like, for me, I didn't know if I was really experiencing anything or what baby blues
was. I still don't know what I felt.
Exactly. I do remember a time with Malachi, not with Ezekiel. Things were totally fine with Ezekiel, but Malachi, after having him, I held him in my arms and I looked at him and I started crying and be like, I don't even know you.
Yeah, that's normal.
And seriously, and I just looked at him and I'm just like, I'm supposed to love him unconditionally, but I really love Ezekiel, but I don't know if I love this baby in my arms right now. And I just started crying. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. First of all, that should be a red flag. Why didn't I call anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a red flag? Is it? I don't know. Is there anything you guys can touch on that?
I think I wasn't even going to tear up. I'm just tearing up. I'm not going to cry. But or maybe
you're
if I cry,
to.
That's totally
Please.
Fine. Yeah. I think you said something earlier, like when they handed your baby to you.
Mm-hmm. I didn't feel
I haven't
that.
Really thought like of that. I haven't thought of what was my feeling because reflection it has so much to do with healing. So.
And I felt it with Waylon, not with Bowie.
I felt when they handed me Charlie, like, okay, we can do this.
Oh.
And I felt really alone.
Yeah.
And I felt really like,
when you
my
said
husband
we,
was
did
there
you
looking
mean,
at me. I meant her.
You
and
met
I.
her. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And my husband was there and my friends were there and my family was there, but I felt really like, okay.
I felt the I can same show way, but that like you. Makes me feel like stronger. Do you know what I mean? Like that, like that's just a difference in different postpartums.
Now,
like me, I was like, it's like me and these ones. Yeah. Like these is my soul entire life. Yeah. And that's where my anxiety stemmed from because I wanted to just save them. So that's
interestingly enough, I felt that at the beginning with like I just expressed. But now I look back at journal entries and I have a whole diary of like letters to Charlie.
Yeah.
I write her in my good moments and in my bad moments. And the last one I wrote was 8 months ago. And it was like, I'm so proud of us. We're doing this. Like,
yeah.
So it's transformed. Mm. But I think for me personally, it wasn't like I felt alone because I was with her. I felt like it brought back sensitivity of feeling lonely as a child, feeling like I didn't have both my parents. Mm-hmm. They were separated and married and divorced multiple times. So I felt like in my head, like, this is what I do now. I'm alone now with my kid, but no, I'm with my husband. I need to share with him what I'm feeling. And it's okay to share. I shared with my dad who has come a long way in his 60 some years. And that was really hard for me because I felt like, and my mom and my sisters, you know, everyone thinks you should be so happy, but you'd be surprised.
Right. The if people it wasn't that for my mom, I wouldn't have made it. I don't think.
Tell us
the
why.
Phone calls, because I needed someone to sit on the phone with me, to listen to me breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be on there for like 45 minutes and just on the other phone, she wouldn't say anything. And then she would like be like, are you okay? And I'd be like, my chest still hurts a little bit. She's like, you're going to be okay. I'm like, okay. And then it was all completely over. We just like would sit there or she would like remind me, you know, take a bath, do some tea. She was really the person that like,
did she go through any of that or she was trying to be there for her daughter?
No, she didn't go through any of that. I do have... sorry, Joe. My sister did go through different kinds of postpartum, and not what you were talking about, and not what I'm talking about. Her own postpartum.
Yes. Totally.
And then I have other friends who went through their own postpartum. Yes. And it's all different for each person because each person has different triggers and there's different things in your life that set you off. And I know that I did have a lot of friends who would look at their baby and be like, you're fucking ruining my life.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing. So sorry.
I probably because we can relate.
Because you said you ruined my body. Yes. So that's another
one. Oh, my God. Of course.
Malachi. This time around, both Amanda and I had polyhydramnios where our second babies literally blew us up and ripped us up from the inside out. And this is not hereditary. This is not a typical thing. And we both had excess amniotic fluid. I had 10 extra pounds. I think Amanda had double that because she was at a 40.
My numbers were at 40.
And I was at a
38, 40.
And I was a 28. So,
do you know any of your fluid numbers?
Me? I was always low.
You were always low. So average is 16 to 20,
yeah,
right?
And I was...
14 would be low. My girlfriend was
at 14. 28, and you
my
were
My dude didn't tell me anything. He was just like, oh.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Here you go.
Just slapped you on the ass.
I love them so much. They follow me on on Facebook.
Who are your doctors?
My nurse and doctors. Oh, yes, awesome. I love them. All four of my kids, but they know that I'm like the extra special kind of person that needs coddling. So he would like baby the hell out of me.
All right, see, ladies. That's good that they know that, though. Know. That's really what makes good. A good doctor.
Yeah. All right, so we got 5 minutes left. This is what
I
wanted.
10 minutes.
Well, he gave us the 5 minutes.
Well, I got to get out before the. We got to switch shows.
Oh, but don't
we have you? You weren't even ready.
I know. Okay, but on this note, ladies out there, tell all the women what is a turning point that you need to call and ask for help. Like, I really want, like, for both.
I asked immediately. Immediately.
What was it?
Okay, but
what
really fast. Really fast. I don't even... See, I still to this day don't know if I had anything.
Didn't affect you to the point that it affected... It affected from my standpoint.
I still have, like...
My general, like,
I think, personally, if it distresses you, mm-hmm. if
That's
it distresses you for more to two... For more than 2 to 3 weeks, you need
and
to either
what
be talking
distress?
To a therapist... Distress, it's on your mind. It's a cloud hanging over you. It's something you feel like you have to personally push through by yourself mm-hmm. every day. If it's something that's distressing you, that's taking over, having you react in different ways
You'll
than you feel
know.
Like you wouldn't,
like,
you need to ask someone, you need
feel
to seek
like those
different
kind of
things.
Thoughts. Like I felt like the end of the world was happening to me.
After Waylon, I felt... I don't even know. I told all three of you. I mean, I just felt like I had PTSD. Like, I would go to the grocery store and I would have a glaze over my face because I was looking at couples. Mm-hmm. And you know what I was looking at? The fact that the woman looked like she was their mother and the husband was handsome. And I got so fucking pissed off and I was so upset at the fact that, like, women go through everything, and it ages us and it kills us.
Yeah.
And the husbands, they just look so handsome.
Yeah.
And then the lady, like, my favorite checkers would be like, hey, Amanda. And I'm like, what?
I think therapy can be even just discussing it with people and just being upfront with how you feel. Yeah. Just
I felt like I had just gotten back from war and I had pure baby bliss.
Yeah.
Pure baby
That's
bliss.
True.
I had nothing to do with my children.
I know. You had like,
I was terrified.
Dream.
And I didn't have it with Bowie because with Bobby, I was like, what the fuck? Like, all the time.
You had
know
a
what
lot
I mean?
Of stuff going on in that year. So.
It was a wild year, and I bounced back, and it wasn't even an issue or whatever. But I don't know. So there's a difference in pregnancies. So I still...
I was in the line at Target once, and I started to have a panic attack, and I called my mom, and I was like, the lights are so bright. The music's so loud. Like, I'm totally freaking out in here. I'm going to die for sure in this line right here. I'm going to die in Target. I hope there's a doctor near. And, like, I would always have those, like, weird... unrational thinking, like,
if
is there a doctor in the store?
Find your anchor. If you can't find your anchor and, like, really build on what happened, what do you do when this happens? What do you do when this
happens? Identifying your triggers.
Identifying your triggers and being honest with the way things are affecting.
In general.
Yeah, and that's
that's
fine.
Okay. A lot of people have that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like. Just be honest with people you feel safe with.
Yeah.
And if you're the lucky few, they will...
Talk about it. Talk about it. Don't be afraid. Find one person to talk
Listen
about
to podcasts,
it to.
Mom and Mine.
Oh, yes. If
Vodka
you don't
juice
have
box.
Anyone that's safe, listen to podcasts, research it. You can hear people talk all day long.
We'll put Heather's recommendations on our website and on Instagram so you guys can follow those podcasts.
The whole reason we started this podcast is because there's so much shit that happens
on Instagram and hashtag
postpartum
or there's like bring back postpartum. There's a few different hashtags you can hashtag that will lead you to back.
Where'd it go?
Can I ask both of you ladies before we sign off, how are you doing today?
Yeah.
I feel fantastic today. Personally, my husband's done a great job at reaffirming me because we have set clear written out guidelines of what I need.
Okay.
And I also am holding myself responsible for daily affirmations, mindset, things I need to do, but it's every day. Every day I have to do it.
Are you allowing
it
grace?
Engulfs me like grace with your partner, grace with yourself. Grace with the people I work
with. That's so
with
hard for
and
me.
For.
Me too. I don't give Greg any grace.
Man, I know I give it
fishing.
Because
He's
I need
busy.
It.
I need grace
I
with myself.
I think grace for yourself. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. My daughter's name is Charlie Grace.
I love
for
it.
No,
my daughter's
no.
Charlie too. And do you know that having a girl is more likely to cause postpartum because you crash in estrogen.
Wow. I believe that. They steal your youth and beauty. As you're pregnant, you can feel it. It's all gone. I don't have it.
That's one of the million doctors told me because I was like, why is this happening
to me? Like, I'm scientific proof.
Yeah, how are you? How are you,
Jessica?
Today?
How are
I
you
will
feeling?
Always have anxiety because of the PTSD. PTSD for my brother.
Yes.
But I am fine now. Like mm-hmm. I told you, it literally, I woke up and it was like a cloud had lifted. And I just want people to know that there is going to be that light or that moment. Maybe not how mine was, but in a different way for anybody
else.
You're
going to be all right.
You're
going to wake
okay.
up and it's going to be all right.
This is not
Look
how, that was my
mirror.
Fears. I kept telling my mom, I'm never going to go back to normal. Like literally complete psychosis. Yeah. Like Greg's going to put me in the loony bin. Aww. Like just panic.
I would be like, go ahead, do it. You're going to be stuck with these kids.
Don't leave me with these freaking kids, Bobby.
It's going to be okay. That's the only thing that I could tell anybody is as long as you talk about it, it's going to be okay.
Yes,
you're
definitely,
make it.
definitely talk.
You're a
your
badass bitch.
Way. Yes, you're,
a, badass. You're a badass bitch. The shit is not going to phase you. You fucking got it.
I want to say it all together right now. You're a badass bitch.
This shit is not going to phase you.
You got this. Cheers, baby.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa.